The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Mercy Sowa
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, gas from West Africa gas pipeline starts flowing as water level in Akonsombo Dam stabilizes. Completed a Chiabo gas plant to generate 120 million cubic feet of gas per day when fully operational by end of this year. Meanwhile, President Mahama Katsod for construction of 24 million CD gas enclave roads in Western Region. UTAG expected to officially call off month-long strike today. Ashanti Regional Minister orders arrest of Adansi South NADMO coordinator for alleged illegal mining activities, and another U.S. journalist beheaded by Islamic State militants in Iraq. Gas from the West African gas pipeline has started flowing. There was interruption in gas supply due to maintenance works on the pipeline. The head of communications of the VRA, Samuel Fletcher, announced this to Radio Ghana, asked consumers to expect some improvement in power supply. He said the level of water in the Akonsombo Dam has also stabilized. Mr. Fletcher was, however, categorical that the country is not yet out of total load shedding because there's no reserve capacity of power. He spoke to Jonathan Thompson.
For reasons that at some point things had improved, people automatically thought that we were out of load shedding. But unfortunately, none of the other utility companies or even the ministry came out to really announce load shedding. So I think that what we have seen over the last couple of days is a bit of problem. One of the reasons for that was that the West Africa gas pipeline was having some repair work that took about 4 or 5 days. So we gas flow stopped for about 3 days or so. A few other challenges, but mainly due to gas flow. But it is important that we know that we have not announced that load shedding was over. However, because of the last few days, because of gas flow problems from Nigeria, the load shedding has been intensified. The good news is that as I speak to you, the gas has already started flowing. The work is done, gas has been introduced into the pipeline, and currently a number of gas turbines are running on gas. So the situation is expected to get better, not to go away completely. We need to look at what is happening in Akonsombo. Water level has also stabilized and has started giving indication of positive rise.
Head of Communications of the VRA, Samuel Fletcher.
The Atobo gas processing plant is 99.87% complete and will fully come on stream before the year ends. Experts say mechanical works have been completed, except for some safety measures to be put in place. By October 9, Talo Oil will have finished connecting their pipeline system from the Atobo gas plant to the SPSO. This came out at a briefing when President John Mahama paid a working visit to the Atobo gas project site. After being conducted round the plant, he expressed satisfaction with the work done within the 2-year period. The gas plant, when in full operation, has the capacity to produce 120 million standard cubic feet of gas per day. Meanwhile, President Mahama has cancelled for work to start on the 34-kilometer gas enclave roads in the Western Region at a cost of 24.3 million Ghana cedis. Pascaline Adadevo reports.
The Atobo gas processing plant started in July 2012, and like most projects, it has suffered a fair share of criticisms with regards to completion timelines. The project, according to the technocrats, is 99.87% complete and will soon move into the testing and inauguration phase. When the project comes into full operation, about 90 to 120 million standard cubic feet of gas will be produced a day, which translates into about 500 megawatts of power. Sinopec, a Chinese petrochemical company, is executing the gas project. The Etiabo gas plant will produce gas to power the three thermal plants at Abuaze. The plant will also produce liquefied petroleum gas for domestic use. Currently, the country spends $1 billion to purchase crude oil to power the thermal plants. The Etiabo gas plant also holds huge prospects for the country's industrial sector as reliable power supply is assured. Chief Executive of the Ghana Gas Company, Dr. George Sepayanki, expounds further the potential of the gas plant
to help us get reliable, uninterrupted power supply, to also hopefully bring down the cost of power, because VRA will be saving a lot of money from the purchase of gas. VRA spends about $1 billion every year to import gas, and we will be supplying them the same similar fuel for the same amount of power at half the price. So it means we shall be saving $500 million every year as a country.
President John Mahama sees the completion of the gas plant as one that would turn around the economic fortunes of the country. It will also bring to fruition his vision to see Ghana become the energy hub for West Africa.
This project is much anticipated by Ghanaians. It's going to be a game changer. It would even help our macroeconomic stability in terms of reducing the pressure on the foreign exchange reserves. It will save us almost $500 million a year in using dollars to purchase light crude oil. And also the fact that VRA will be able to purchase the gas in CDs means that the multiplier effect of this project would be enormous within our economy. And so this is the game changer. We are happy with the progress that has been made. And the next time I come here, we'll be opening the valve for the gas to start flowing to Abuaze.
Meanwhile, President Mahama has cut short for work to start on a 34-kilometer gas enclave route for the western region.
Pascaline and Adovo filed that report. The police administration says it cannot confirm media publications that some 100 personnel of the service are to be punished for various offences. The public affairs director of the service, DSP Sifas Arthur, who stated this on Behind the News, said though the service takes disciplinary action against those who flout the guidelines of the service, he is not privy to any punishment being meted out to some personnel. He spoke to Agatha Samoa.
Let me say that I can't confirm the source of their story, but that does not take away the fact that the police do take action against officers whose conduct go against the tenets of the service, who misconduct themselves professionally in the course of their duties and trample upon the right of the public that we serve. So over the years, action is taken against police officers who misconduct themselves. And some of these actions have ranged from dismissal, removal, reduction in rank, to reprimand. So in as much as I would say yes, when the police service comes out to say that they will investigate any incident of police misconduct or unprofessional conduct on the part of police officers, and when such times members of the public come out to say that the police, all they will say is that they will conduct investigation, they don't do anything, at all times when we say so, we do take action. And when our officers are found culpable, depending upon the gravity of the offense, they are accordingly punished.
Well, so DSC, you are saying that you cannot confirm that 100 people have been dismissed from the police service because of various offenses. But have these actions that you've been talking about been taken recently, or they are just disciplinary measures taken every now and then?
Disciplinary actions are taken as an administrative measure against our personnel.
That's Public Affairs Director of the Ghana Police Service, DSP Sifas Arthur.
The University Teachers Association of Ghana, UTAG, is likely to call off its month-old strike this afternoon. This follows the signing of an MOU after a meeting with government yesterday, in which government resolved to pay their book and research allowances under the existing arrangement for the 2013-14 academic year. The parties agreed to ensure that payment of the 2013-14 book and research allowances commences with immediate effect and would be completed by the end of the fiscal year. The meeting yesterday was also attended by Ministries of Education and Finance, Ministry of Employment and Labour Relations, National Council for Tertiary Education, and Fair Wages and Salary Commission. In an interview with the General Secretary of the Association, Dr. Samuel Atitunu, the Association has communicated its decision to its members and will issue a statement later today.
UTAC and government signed a a memorandum of understanding with respect to the payment of the 2013-2014 book and research allowances that you should have been talking about. So I don't have the details, but there were 7 points that we have to sign on that.
So, Doc, were you satisfied with the agreement? And if you're satisfied, are we going to see an end to the strike anytime soon?
Oh, yes. We are satisfied in the sense that when you go for negotiation, there are compromises. We wouldn't see it completely, but for now, yes. And we most likely will be coming out with a statement this afternoon with respect to the strike.
The statement you talk about, is it likely to end the strike?
Yes, it is most likely.
But have you communicated this decision to your constituents, your members?
As you said yesterday, next actually met and we are in leadership. So various executives were asked to do that this morning. Then this afternoon we should be coming out with a statement.
General Secretary of UTAG, Dr. Samuel Atitunu.
The Ministry of Health has presented 1,000 boxes of Ringer lactate injections and 1,600 boxes of anti-cholera solution vaccines each to the La and Lekma hospitals. This will help relieve the financial burden of these hospitals when treating cholera cases. Speaking at the presentation in Accra, the Deputy Minister of Health, Victor Bampo, said Ghana recording about 10,000 cases of cholera with 92 deaths in 52 districts is beyond the capacity of health providers. He said the vaccines will go a long way to curb the pressure on health providers. He however charged health workers to give the vaccines free of charge to patients.
An unprecedented level of cholera. This is something that is very high. So government has instructed that we provide support so that these supplies will be given to the patients free of charge. It will alleviate the pressure on the facility, the pressure on the patients that are coming. The issue is that we need to make sure that Ghanaians get out of this cholera. So we are bound to support in any way that government can support. This is the first of many. We will extend it across the country. There are 52 districts that have this problem. So we're going to try and support as many of the districts as we possibly can.
The principal nursing officer at the La General Hospital at Addis Ababa expressed gratitude to government for the gesture. She said education on the disease through the mass media has helped to reduce the spread. She promised that the vaccines will be used for the intended purposes. A deputy director of nursing services at the Lekma Hospital, Stella Cerebo, talked about challenges the hospital is facing in treating cholera cases and lauded the ministry for the support.
It's not been very easy for us. We have to convert the whole emergency unit as a cholera ward. The emergency already is not a very big place. So we are handicapped. We are challenged. We have to move them to the medical ward. That place is also not big enough. So we are really constrained to space. It's going to relieve the patients and staff as well. Because on the average, we receive not less than 25 clients a day. And depending on the condition of the client, it's going to give us a great relief. It will help the patients and all of us.
That was the Deputy Director of Nursing at the Lekma Hospital, Stella Cerebo.
Deputy Eastern Regional Director of Health Services, Dr. Cynthia Kwachi McLean, has attributed the rise in cholera cases to filth and called on the public to observe personal and environmental hygiene. She cautioned against indiscriminate defecating and dumping of refuse, which have caused cholera outbreaks in almost all the regions. Dr. McLean, in an interview in Kufodia, said the region has for the past 6 weeks recorded 506 cholera cases in 12 districts and municipalities. She disclosed that the Nsawam Adwejiri municipality leads with 231 cases, followed by Kriapim North with 86, while the New Drabem municipality is ranked third with 52 cases. She said though no deaths have been recorded, there's the need for all to help fight the epidemic.
The Ghana Coalition of NGOs in Health has asked government to strengthen central coordination points to effectively manage information on Ebola. This will help address distorted messages on the disease that end up in creating panic and fear. The National Board Chairman of the Coalition, Kenneth Wujangi, at a news conference in Accra, said the porous nature of the country's borders makes the country vulnerable to the disease. Joyce Dechi reports.
The total number of confirmed cases of Ebola in the four affected West African countries as of last month was 3,069, with 1,552 deaths. The countries are Guinea, Liberia, Nigeria, and Sierra Leone. Experts are predicting that six more countries may be affected after Senegal had a confirmed case. Considering the porous nature of the country's borders, the Ghana Coalition on NGOs itself believes public education on Ebola should be intensified, even though Ghana has no record of infection of the disease. The chairman of the commission, Kenneth Bajangi, has a message for its members.
The coalition urges all its members across the country to continue with its public education by use of the many FM radio stations across the country and carrying out house-to-house education in several districts and communities. We must integrate health promotion strategies and activities on the disease as a cross-cutting issue in all our activities in the communities. The result of our collective action will avoid widespread tension, fear, and panic among the general public.
The coalition recommended the involvement of the private sector, traditional authorities, senior leaders, and religious organizations in contributing resources to the fight against Ebola. The national vice chairperson of the coalition, Cecilia Senu, said although committees have been formed by the Ghana Health Service and the country's preparedness against the disease, civil society and the private sector have been left out.
To disabuse people's mind about myth and misconception about Ebola, you can never work without CSO, private sector, different community groups. So we have actually engaged them to involve civil society. We don't know when. We have submitted proposal. We are waiting for their feedback for training. Because before civil society can work effectively, we must also be equipped with correct, consistent information.
An issue of concern was traditional practices regarding the preparation of corpses for burial and ceremonies associated with it. A lot of education is needed in that respect to prevent any spread to the disease surfaces in the country. The coalition further asked for the efficient monitoring and use of Ebola fund. On cholera, the coalition of NGOs in health is asking that food vendors around gutters and near refuse dump sites.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: gas from West Africa gas pipeline starts flowing as water level in Akonsombo Dam stabilizes. Completed a Chiabo gas plant to generate 120 million cubic feet of gas per day when fully operational by end of this year. Meanwhile, President Mahama cuts out for construction of 24 million CD gas enclave roads in Western Region. UTAG expected to officially call off month-long strike today. Ashanti Regional Minister orders arrest of Adansi South NADMO coordinator for alleged illegal mining activities, and another U.S. journalist beheaded by Islamic State militants in Iraq.
Now, welcome back, and we go back to our story where there has been an accident around Kau Kudi Junction. Abraham is on the line now. Hello, Abraham.
Hello, darling. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Abraham. So what can you tell us about this accident?
Well, the accident occurred just around some quarter to 5 p.m. And I understand the police told me the taxi driver was driving from the 6 kilometer route down to 37 while the bank bus with registration number AS879R was driving from the airport residential door route towards the Kaukudi. So the taxi driver ran into the bank bus. The taxi driver's registration number is UG122940. So the taxi cab actually ran into the 23-seater bank bus, and the collision occurred. So as we speak, the both cars have overturned. Actually, the bank bus has overturned, lying on its side. Once the taxi is also lying on its side, some of the passengers who were not injured have spoken to them, including the driver of the bank bus, and they told me when they got to the intersection, the traffic light was on amber. So the natural thing to do is that when you reach that intersection, you need to blow your horn to alert oncoming vehicles. But they blew their horn, they didn't see the taxi driver come, because from the direction of the taxi, that area is very slow, the slope is very sticky. So when you accelerate, they see, I can imagine the speed. So that is why when they run into the bank bus with such a force, that the accident occurred. So as you see, the passengers in the bank bus have been rushed to the 37 military hospital for medical assistance. And as you see, two bus has been brought in to come and tow the vehicles away, because the traffic is really building at this area. It's very, you know, hot for traffic. So they are trying to move the cars away. So as you see, the passengers who are in there are transferred to the Secretary Military Hospital, and the police are assisting, you know, to direct traffic here.
So, Abraham, were there any casualties apart from those injured?
No, I've spoken the taxi driver has not been identified yet. We don't even know his whereabouts. But I've not heard of any casualties apart from those who were in the bank bus who have been taken to the Federal Military Hospital.
Well, thank you, Abraham, for that update. That was our reporter, Abraham, who is around Kawu Kudi Junction, where there has been an accident involving a taxi cab and then a bus.
Bright price is set to be high in parts of the three regions of the north. This is forcing young women to continue to stay in abusive marriages. According to Abantu for Development, an NGO, the inability to refund the dowry to free the victims amounts to imprisonment of relatives. This was revealed by a victim at a program to climax activities marking the 10th anniversary of the Women's Manifesto in Accra. Executive Director of African Women's Development Fund, Theodora Soa, said women will continue to fight until they are totally liberated from violence of any form. He added that women have gone through disappointment from the family level to the political front and called for legislation to eradicate what she called abominable acts that do not depict a democratically touted country. Erabna Paha and Aurelia Akande were there. 10 years ago, the Women's Manifesto for Ghana was launched following extensive nationwide consultation with a broad constituency of women's group. It is to develop an instrument that will be effectively used to influence national policy and to promote gender equality and equity. Executive Director of African Women's Development Fund, Theodora Soa, said the resolution to produce the blueprint was a watershed in Ghana's history in the struggle for the promotion of women's rights in national affairs. She said 10 years down the lane, though many of the demands have passed without being addressed, there has been significant and encouraging progress to give women a voice.
When we speak about leadership, we're speaking about leadership in the wrong way. It doesn't matter where you are, but especially when it comes to leadership on our continent, is that we should look really carefully at where it has been successful and then where we continue to move, to struggle and to fight to make sure that the rest of that agenda is achieved. And despite our dreams, it's outlined on the manifesto, we have not managed to push that agenda further.
The manifesto drafting committee chairperson, Professor Dodi Tikata, said the 10th anniversary is being celebrated with mixed feelings. She said the manifesto is anxious about the future, but hopeful that the sustained efforts will bring women victory.
All the political parties who promised to include the manifesto in their own manifesto. And this is a promise we hear each time there are elections. What the manifesto did for us was to raise the bar of our own standards of activism. We had never mobilized the way we did then for the manifesto. And to see that something which starts as small can become this big.
There were fraternal messages and testimonies of the impact of the Women's Manifesto, especially in the rural areas.
Rabna Paha and Aurelia Akande filed that report.
A second U.S. journalist being held hostage by the Islamic State militants has been beheaded. Mr. Sokilov, 31, was abducted in Syria in 2013. He appeared at the end of a video last month which showed the killing of fellow journalist James Foley. A militant in the latest video has also threatened to kill a British hostage. Mr. Sokilov's family said they were aware of the video and were grieving privately. After Mr. Foley's death, Mr. Sokilov's mother appealed to IS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi to save her son's life. White House spokesman Josh Ennis said U.S. officials were checking the report.
Two U.S. men who spent 3 decades in prison for rape and murder, one of them on death row, have been released after DNA evidence proved their innocence. Mentally disabled half-brothers Henry McCollum, 50, and Leon Brown, 46, were convicted in 1984 of raping and killing an 11-year-old girl in North Carolina. Recently analyzed DNA evidence from the crime scene implicated another man who is in prison for a similar crime. A county judge ordered the immediate release of the brothers. Lawyer for the brothers, Aunt Kirby, said the case is a tragedy which has affected not only the lives of the people involved, but also the justice system in North Carolina. The nearly naked body of 11-year-old Sabrina Bui was found in 1983 near the town of Red Springs. She had been raped before being killed. The brothers, who were 19 and 15 at the time, were picked up by police a few weeks later.
U.S. President Barack Obama has arrived in Estonia for talks on Russia and the Ukraine crisis with Baltic leaders. He is due to hold talks with the presidents of Estonia, Latvia and Lithuania. Reports say that three states which joined NATO in 2004 are worried about Russia's intervention in Ukraine. Later in the week, President Obama will attend a NATO summit that is expected to back plans for a rapid response force that could be dispatched within 48 hours. NATO recently announced plans to set up the force to protect Eastern European members against possible Russian aggression.
To end the news, the main points again. Gas from the West Africa gas pipeline has started flowing. The head of communications of the VRA, Samuel Fletcher, who announced this to Radio Ghana, said the level of water in the Akonsombo Dam has also stabilized. He has therefore asked consumers to expect some improvement in power supply. The Etuapo gas processing plant is near completion and will fully come on stream before the year ends. The gas plant, when in full operation, has the capacity to produce 120 million standard cubic feet of gas per day. Meanwhile, President Mahama has cut sod for work to start on the 34-kilometer gas enclave roads in the western region. The University Teachers Association, UTAG, is expected to officially call off its month-old strike this afternoon. This follows the signing of an MOU after a meeting with government yesterday, in which government resolved to pay their book and research allowances under the existing arrangement for the 2013-14 academic year. And a second U.S. journalist has been beheaded by the Islamic State militants in Iraq. Mr. Sotloff, 31, was abducted in Syria in 2013. He appeared at the end of a video last month which showed the killing of fellow journalist James Foley. The news was presented by Mercy Soa
and Dorina Pofinakwa.